Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. And with me, I have two very special guests from the Hip Hop Museum, Rocky Bacano, and also former Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz Jr. Rocky Bacano is the CEO and founder and executive director of the Hip Hop Museum. Bacano hails from the Bronx, where the Hip Hop Museum is slated to open in 2026. The birth and rise of hip hop are woven into Bacano's professional DNA. His extensive experience in television engineering, music, label management, digital entertainment distribution, and nonprofit laid the foundation for his leadership role. Bacano has focused on the importance of hip hop, the hip hop legacy. He is dedicated to the global genre, and also he's committed to safeguarding the artistic cultural contributions. Bacano's devotion to his community and hip hop culture has earned him recognition on the city and state Bronx Power 100 list in 2019, 2021, and 2024. He must have been taken off the years he wasn't on that list. Well, numerous accolades from city and state officials. Former Borough President Bronx Ruben Diaz Jr. joined Montefiore Hospital in 2022, where he serves as Senior Vice President for Strategic Initiatives. Ruben has, in fact, been working with Montefiore since 2015 to improve the overall health care of Bronx residents. Prior to serving in the Bronx, he was a member of the New York State Assembly from 1997 to 2009. Ruben is also chairman of the board of Hip Hop Museum, where his private partnership skills and ability to collaborate and secure crucial development projects for the Bronx are a tremendous asset. Welcome, both of you, to this show.
Thank you for having us, Greg. President Floyd.
Very,
yes, indeed.
Very important subject. Okay. This question, the first one is for Rocky. What inspired you personally to dedicate your life to preserving hip hop through a museum?
So I started as a teenage DJ in the early 70s. I was born in Harlem, but raised in the Bronx. I grew up in the Northeast section of the Bronx in a neighborhood called the Valley. And my cousin was P. DJ Jones, one of the top black mobile disc jockeys in New York City during the late 60s all the way through the early 80s. And as a young kid, I used to follow my cousin all around to different nightclubs throughout New York City. And you know, I've been around the culture since the very beginning. But what really got me involved in taking the leadership role to get this project started was a real estate development opportunity came. And, you know, we were trying to find a location to put a hip hop museum. We went to different locations, started at the Kingsbridge Armory. Then we went to different parts of the Bronx. We even at one time tried to put the museum at the old Bronx County Courthouse, not the one that everyone knows on 161st Street. It's the original courthouse where the borough was actually founded, which is in the Melrose section of the Bronx. Spent a couple years testing out different programs inside that courthouse, but it wasn't the right fit. And then I got a call from Josue Sanchez of L&M Development Partners about a new opportunity to develop a piece of property that the city of New York owns and still owns to this day. It's called the Lower Grand Concourse, but it's now known as the Bronx Point. So where the museum is located is right here in Mott Haven on the tip of the 145th Street Bridge that connects the Bronx to Harlem. And we're right on the Harlem River waterfront. So we have a 55,000 square foot state-of-the-art building that is currently under construction for the interior. And I can't wait to show the world what's being designed, because everyone that I show it to is so impressed And we're going to open next year. So around this time next year, hip hop will finally have its own home to celebrate 52 plus years of global hip hop history.
Let me ask you, the bridge you talk about, that's the bridge leading up to Yankee Stadium, right?
No, so that would be the 145th, that would be the 155th Street Bridge.
Okay.
But this one is right coming down 149th Street. It's the 145th Street Bridge. So okay. It's the one before it.
So when you said the 145th, you were talking about from the Bronx side.
Correct.
Okay, because I was picturing where the Polo Grounds was on in the
with yeah, 155th.
Giants, yep. Play, and then you could overlook. Yes. And then the Yankees.
Yeah, so we just to put it in context, we are five blocks south of Yankee Stadium.
Okay, very good.
Right next to the Major Diggin Expressway. That's where we are.
The actual address is 585 Exterior.
Exterior. And Ruben, what role do you see yourself playing in this museum? As former Bronx Borough President, having been involved in countless and huge projects, you know, tell us your role in this project.
So you know, when first of all, let me thank you and Phyllis and Alex and everybody in your team, not only for having us here today, but for everything that you do, all the information that you get out to New Yorkers. And even bigger than that, I want to thank you as president of your union for what you do for working men and women of the city of New York, not only when it comes to the jobs that you do in areas like the New York City Housing Authority, but you're always out there advocating for a better life for even other fields. So I want to just put that out there and thank you for that.
Okay, thank you.
You know, we're both, I've been public servants in our whole lives. You read off this whole curricula vitae about me. I am now what they call a recovering politician. And I always wanted to make sure that in my afterlife, whether it's at Montefiore or doing other things, that I serve my purpose, that I do something that's meaningful. Hip hop, in its raw form, is a way of life. Hip hop has different elements. And hip hop raised me. Hip hop was born in 1973, and so was I. Hip hop has raised all of us. We've all have some type of story, whether we were at a party when we were younger, whether now if you're a grandparent, your kids, you know, 40, 50 years ago, introduced you to hip hop all the way till now. So I, as a very young man, I remember my aunt, my mom's youngest sister, she was in her early 20s. And I remember that I was sort of like the entertainment at 6, 7 years old when I used to try to break dance to the Sugar Hill Gang, to Curtis Blow. They're the ones who introduced me to this form. And then in the 80s, fast forward in the 80s, now that I'm becoming an adolescent and a teenager, you know, then you get the KRS-One who came up with, you know, the South Bronx. Everybody grew off the South Bronx. He made me feel proud of being from the Bronx. South Bronx, the South Side Bronx. Many people told me the style is terrific. It is kind of different. So let's be specific. KRS-One specialized in music. I only use this type of style because I choose it. Party people in the place to be. So all of this is what raised me. When I became an elected official, hip hop was still something that government and people in the political class did not really accept. So I had to hide my love for hip hop. But as things started moving along, I remember when Amadou Diallo was shot and killed in my district, you was a part of that, all those protests and marches by the NYPD, remember that?
I remember that.
That's sure. When I was doing interviews, and in Hot 97, Lisa Evers dubbed me the hip hop assembly member. So I knew all along that I wanted to do something bigger and greater for this what my brother Fat Joe calls this natural resource that was born in the Bronx, that has taken over the globe, and how we make it so that we have a house and a place for it so that we could continue to tell a narrative of not only the years since its inception and its birth, but how we move forward. Rocky was somebody who I've known for many years before that, when he was involved with Gauchos. Hip hop and basketball are synonymous with each other. And so when Ron Molis, the same person from L&M, the developer from L&M that approached Rocky, when he told me, look, we're going to answer it, we're answering this RFP, I was the borough president at the time. And he says, I want to give you a place for hip hop. We're teaming up with Rocky Buchanan, who, you know, this was different iterations of what would the hip hop museum would be. I thought it was the perfect location. I couldn't believe it. We went through with it. We did the groundbreaking ceremony. And then now, since I left the borough presidency, I served on the board, and Rocky and other board members, they have a beautiful board who works so hard, they founded upon themselves to ask me to be the chairman. So now I'm the chairman of the Hip Hop Museum. And let me just say this and finish here. This is not the Bronx Hip Hop Museum. This is not New York City's Hip Hop Museum. What we're building is 57,000 square feet of the Hip Hop Museum. The same way that you have museums in Washington, D.C., the same way that you have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, this will be the global museum to tell the entire story.
And I've been to all of those museums.
Yes.
Last time I was at the Rock and Roll Museum, for those who are listening from the Rock and Roll Museum, you need to put more in it.
Well, we're going to have so much.
I'm talking about rock and roll. They need
it. We're going to have so much more. And one of the things that I've felt, and I know that Rocky can attest to this, that while hip hop was born in urban communities, and this is a genre now that has taken over the planet, and we're going to talk more about that. But it always kills me when a hip hop artist is inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Well, now we're going to be able to do that in our own backyard with our own museum, where we're going to be inducting people to the Walk of Respect, the Hall of Respect, because hip hop is all about getting your respect.
Correct.
And we're going to be able to do and offer so many other things that we're going to talk about here today.
Let me ask you both. What are the special challenges you're facing convincing others that hip hop needed a museum?
Well, in the beginning, it was a challenge because, you know, there had been several other attempts to establish a museum for hip hop, and the people behind those projects really were not able to get them off the ground. They started it, but it really didn't go anywhere. So in the very beginning, there was a little bit of skepticism. And then even up until the point where we started to break ground on our existing building, people was like, is it really going to happen? You know, there was a little bit of disbelief out there. But now that we have the building and now that people see the work, as Ruben said, being built, you know, being, you know, constructed on the inside, and, you know, we have this amazing space. Now people are becoming more involved, more engaged, because they want to make sure that this project was actually going to happen. But as Ruben can attest, we've raised almost $100 million to get the project to this point. Yeah. And now it's like, jump on now, or, you know, it's going to be too late because this museum is heading to the finish line, and we don't want anyone to feel like they're going to be left out. So we're doing a lot of outreach to different people to get them involved.
The irony is also this, because traditionally hip hop has always viewed government as the antagonist. Hip hop has always been critical, right? When you look at the message by Melly Mel back in the, you know, early in like 1980, 1981, all the way through some of the different iterations of hip hop we have. So hip hop has different elements. The MC version or the rap version, you have drill, you have, music from the South. You know, we have so many different types of hip hop, but it traditionally is about storytelling, and it's about a journalistic view from urban communities and how they feel that government and the powers that be can do better. But the irony is that the majority of the funding that we've received for this museum has come from government. So while Rocky is correct that at first we had a couple of challenges here, is A, there were so many different people trying to do this. B, trying to get, you know, to a place where we found a home. C, trying to get people with the mentality that this is the actual serious iteration of the Hip Hop Museum. But now, more than ever, what we're trying to convince is the people or the entities from the hip hop industry and the music industry to now come on board. So government has given over $70 million in public financing to this museum. It's the reason why we've been able to condo the space. So we're not renting the location. The location is 50,000 square feet. It's the reason why we've been able to build it out. And it's going to, it's just going to, we're not cutting any corners. What the reason why we wanted to come on your program, and we're going to be doing, and we've been doing a lot of outreach, is because we know that you were, you know, I don't know if the rest of the world knows, but Gregory, you have your own hip hop stories, and you come from Queens.
So you're going to have the balance with hip hop pioneers, and you're going to welcome the next generation of artists.
It's a balance. It's a lot, right, Rocky? I mean, there's the politics. It's just with the pioneers of hip hop alone, there's a lot of politics that we have to deal with.
You ain't lying.
Right. So think of this. In 52 years, you have to deal with not only the different generations or eras, let's call it eras of hip hop, right? So you have the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, so on and so forth. But then you have the different geographical areas in the United States. But hip hop is so big that now you have South America, you have reggaeton, you have, you know, African beats in West Africa, you have the UK, you have Germany, Australia. This is where we want the whole world to converge. The one thing about hip hop, more so than anything else, it has been the biggest bridge that has united the divide of different ages, different eras, different generations, and different economic gaps. It's the way that a rich person from Calabasas can identify now with a very a person in poverty in areas like Brooklyn, the South Bronx, or it's a way that someone from the United States now can better identify with people from, you know, the UK and Europe or in Africa. It's fascinating, and we want to capture all that, but we could only do it with the help and the support of the community at large. I'm sorry, Rocky.
Rocky?
Yes. I mean, Ruben pretty much said everything. I think that, you know, we have overcome so much to get the project to this point. And now, as Ruben said, it's really up to the music industry and the global hip hop community to step forward to show their support. A lot of pressure is on fundraising, but I think because hip hop is so important to everyone around the world, now that they see that there's an actual building, it's easier for them to step up and provide a donation or some sort of contribution to the museum. The other thing that we also need is we're in search of hip hop's rarest artifacts. So, you know, we have the Biggie Crown, we got a studio console from Dr. Dre, and we got all these amazing things, but we're still searching for some special artifacts. So people that may have stuff in their closet that they think doesn't serve a purpose, take a look in your closet. You may find a rare photo of Run DMC or Dougie Fresh or Queen Latifah.
Or a flyer that you may have had for a long time where you went to some jam back in the 80s or the 70s where, you know, something maybe like Kool Herc was DJing. You know, look at those albums. If you think that there's something that we can use so that we can provide. But we also, while we need the artifacts, one of the things that's going to be fascinating about our museum is that we understand that 50,000 square feet, while it sounds like it's big, is going to get small really quickly with the stories that we have to tell and the different geographic areas that we have to, you know, have represented there. And the different generations, mm-hmm. right? Because we don't want to balance the generations. We want to bring them all together. We want the grandmother who was jamming out in the park in the 70s and the 80s and in the 90s to come with her grandchild who's now jamming, you know, to Cardi B and A Boogie with a Hoodie today and have them all experience this together, right? Yeah. So, but we're going to use a lot of digital as well. But, you know, so this is something that we want everyone to be a part of. And the one way that you can say that you're a part of it is by, you know, taking a little bit of money in your pocket and wind up, you know, contributing to the museum.
Now, how would they contribute? Is there a website that you go on? Is it, you know, how would they get in touch with you to donate?
So there are several different ways that people can donate. The first way is to go on our website, which is thhm.org. They can learn about all the beautiful programs. They can learn about the museum's journey right on our website. They can learn about some of our partners, but they can also make a donation right from the museum's website. And then, you know, we have our largest fundraiser of the year, which is our gala on October 15th, which is going to be at Cipriani's Wall Street. And people can go on our website and buy tickets to our gala. We got some amazing honorees. We're honoring a New York State Assembly Speaker, Carl Hastie. We're honoring Fat Joe. We're honoring Slick Rick. We're honoring Michael Eric Dyson. We're doing a tribute to Andre Harrell, the founder of Uptown Records. We got DJ Cassidy in the building. He's going to be doing a special performance for us. And we're going to be announcing
DJ Cassidy of the famous Pass the Mics.
Yes, yep. Pass the Mic, yes.
Yep, so, you know, it's going to be a blowout gala. The enthusiasm level is going through the roof now. People are asking how could they get tickets or buy a table. So those are just the couple ways that people can donate today and support the museum.
Or go to our social medias. We're on IG, we're on Facebook. And when Rocky says THHM, THHM is the Hip Hop Museum. Those are the first letters. The Hip Hop Museum. You go there and there should be links there from our social media sites. Is that correct, Rocky?
Yes.
Yeah, put you right on the website.
Yep, THHM.org.
Yes. And how much are the gala tickets? So those who are listening, you're going to have a lot of hip hop royalty in the building. Cipriani's is a very, very prestigious place. Somebody wants to go.
They're expensive. They're expensive. We're not going to lie. They're expensive.
No, everybody... Just let it out. Because
It's $1,500 a ticket and $25,000 a table. So, okay. You know, I know if for those who are listening, maybe you have a boss, a company, a corporation, a union president,
yeah.
who, you know, let them know that you love hip hop and that, you know, they should be represented in all this and be part of the effort. And maybe it could just be like a write off for, you know, tax purposes for the entity that you represent.
Sounds good. Sounds good. So the date is October 15th. You're going to have a hip hop gala.
Yep,
it's our biggest and most important fundraiser of the year, and we want to see you in the building.
Okay, very good, very good. Okay, last words,
Rocky.
No, listen, I just want to thank you. As Ruben said, you know, I appreciate your service to the community, your leadership role with the union. We appreciate that you even have us on your podcast to help us spread the gospel about the Hip Hop Museum. Ruben and I are very passionate about this project, and you know, he and I want to make sure that this thing is a smashing success.
Very good. And you
and again, Greg, you and I go, you know, back a long ways. Yes. I just want to say thank you once again. The fact of the matter is that the Hip Hop Museum belongs in the Bronx. Again, this is going to be a global museum. Not having it in the Bronx, however, would be like having the Baseball Hall of Fame in Russia. That's why we, you know, so, and so while it's in the Bronx, and sometimes people think that, you know, they have a negative stereotype of the Bronx, the reality is that it's accessible by many different transportation hubs, and that we're doing it in a way where we're not cutting any corners. We want everybody to spread the word. We're not open yet. We're in process of building out the inside of the museum. We open around this time next year, but we certainly are starting a year early on the operating capital campaign so that we can make sure that we can do all of the educational services and so that we can bring to the world this phenomenon, the history, the stories, the artifacts, the origins, and the current media, the current events of this thing that has taken not only over music, but movies, fashion, jewelry, and even politics, baby. So we appreciate you giving us this platform, and we'll continue to keep you in tune, and hopefully we'll be back again in the near future with an update.
Thank you, and you're welcome to come back anytime. I'm Gregory Floyd, President of Local 237 Teamsters, very special guests, Rocco Bacano and Ruben Diaz Jr., Hip Hop Museum. Thank you too very much.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.